brought to you by Burr Foreman and broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Results Matter Radio. Stone, quite a busy month we've had so far, huh?
Yes, it has been. We've had a lot of travel, went to Raleigh, North Carolina, went out to San Francisco. I love doing the remote broadcast, but I like doing the in-studio work too. But how well-rested are you? You spent a couple days at South Beach, watched your Dolphins. How did that go?
They came in second, which wasn't what we were shooting for, but overall it was a great time.
Fantastic. Well, this is going to be a great segment. It's a bit of a special. We're going to focus on diversity today, I think.
Right. That's an important topic. And we have a lot of people in the room here that have think diversity is important as well.
Absolutely. Please welcome back to the Business Radio X studio from Burr and Foreman, Ashby Kent Fox. She and Heather Generous. Heather is with Recall. She's Global Vice President Marketing over there. Ashby and Heather were both profiled in the 12th annual Women Worth Watching. I wonder if they're women worth hearing. I bet you they are. Issue of the Profiles in Diversity Journal. And we also have joining us Executive Director of InGirls, Miss Deborah Marshall. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So now, Ashby, why don't you talk a little bit about how you were able to pull off getting profiled in this magazine?
Sure. Well, it was very exciting. It's a very interesting and a very important publication.
Right.
It's the Diversity Journal, and they have, I think, six issues every year, and one is their Women Worth Watching issue. And it focuses on women executives and business leaders, female business leaders. And it's a really great opportunity. When I was fortunate enough to be nominated by my firm to be a finalist for selection in the journal. And it's so interesting to look and see other women like Heather and read their profiles and see what other women leaders are doing in the community, both in Atlanta and outside of Atlanta. And so it was a really unique opportunity for me not only to be profiled in the Diversity Journal, but to have the opportunity to read and see and really learn about what other very impressive women leaders are doing in our community.
And Heather, how about you?
I absolutely agree. I mean, it's a real honor and real privilege to be with all the women that were recognized. And I guess we're the 2014 class after 12 years of this. And I think the other item that I would add to it is just the opportunity to get out and talk about diversity and the opportunity that, you know, we have today. I mean, it leads into an opportunity to talk and, you know, share our experiences with other women and other men in the workplace and help them broaden their knowledge around diversity and inclusion, for that matter.
Can you talk a little bit about Recall and how diversity plays into the corporate strategy?
Yeah, so Recall is a great company. I've been with them for a little over 2 years. Let me give you a little history, because sometimes people don't know what Recall does. So Recall is in information management. We help our clients securely and effectively manage their information, regardless of whether it's in a physical or digital format. And we do that globally around the world. We're in over 20 markets around the world. And I think what's really exciting right now with Recall is we've been privately held by a company named Brambles out of Australia, a very large multi-billion dollar company. And they've always been very focused on diversity and looking at how to empower women in the workplace, but also looking at inclusion, as I mentioned before. We're actually, though, about to be spun off by Brambles. We're going to be a publicly traded company at the end of this year, come December. And so we are busily working at our strategy and looking at how we are going to take the learnings that we you know, and the culture that came from Brambles, make it our own, and then expand on that and, you know, take that and lead as well.
Well, that's an exciting time, because now you get to kind of help shape that, right?
Absolutely. We were actually working on it yesterday afternoon.
So now how do you integrate diversity into that conversation when you're developing a culture?
Well, you know, I think one of the key ways is when we're going through the interview process. So, you know, as becoming a independent company, we are actually in the process of hiring. We are growing. We are hiring. For those of you who are listening, you know, you can go to recall.com careers page and look at the different positions that we have. But as part of the hiring process, one of the things that we talk about is, you know, what is your plan? You know, what are the things that as an employee,
right, what do you,
what do you want to grow? How do you want, what's your personal development plan, mm-hmm. and what do you want to do in order to, you know, grow as a person? And what can the company do to help you
to
grow
help
as
you.
A person? So those are all aspects that take place when you're, you know, looking at joining a new company. And that's one of the things that we like to explore during the interview process.
Ashby, can you talk a little bit about how that happens at Burr?
Sure. Well, I noticed that Heather mentioned hiring. And one of the things that we're focused on at Burr Foreman, we're, of course, a law firm, is not only hiring, but retention. Mm-hmm. And how do we retain, specifically through our women's initiative, how can we retain good quality female attorneys and female leaders? Because I think what we see, at least in the legal profession, is that over the past several years, obviously there's been a very large increase in female law students, which is wonderful. I think in many law schools now, there are more than 50% female classes. Mm-hmm. But I think what we have seen historically is that while there may be an increasing number of female attorneys joining law firms and beginning law practice, you start to see the number dwindle at the higher levels. And the and what we're trying to do is to focus on that issue of retention. Why do we see women, so many women starting in law practice, but when we look at the higher levels, the partnership.
Right. Where are they going?
Where are they going and why are they leaving? And if they're going in-house, why is that? What can we as a firm, a private practice law firm, do culturally to help retain great women in our firm and in our business community? And so that's one of the things that we have focused on. We actually started a women's initiative last year to really focus on retention of our female attorneys and focusing on the needs of female attorneys, the concerns of female attorneys, and how we can foster that and really help them achieve their career goals and stay to the extent that they want to
right.
stay and find a successful place in leadership in the law firm.
Yeah, I'd love to actually echo that. So, you know, one of the things that I've really appreciated with Recall is the fact that I actually, I'm a new mother. So I recently had my second son. He's about 10 months now. But when I joined Recall, I actually didn't know I was going to become pregnant. but they were great. And I think that's about retention. So, and I think that's some of the challenges that women face in the workplace is when they are in more senior leadership roles or even not in senior leadership mm-hmm. roles. When you get pregnant and you're going to have a baby, that is a big and different time for someone's
right.
life. And how does the company react? And how do they help those employees through that process?
Right.
So, you know, certainly they need you to perform. They need you to deliver and on the expectations and the objectives they set forth. But at the same time, they recognize it's a different time. And Recall was great and really, you know, helped me through a process. You
right.
know, I had some medical problems during that process, but they appreciated it. They took the time and they made it possible for me to stay employed, to continue to participate and embrace the change that was taking place for me. And I think that's important for companies overall to be thinking about how to retain those employees during different times during their lives.
Now, that's great that your companies are being very inclusive and diversity is important individually. Is there any outreach where you go into the community as a company and...
Well, I know for Burr Foreman, one of the things that we're going to be starting at the beginning of next year as part of our women's initiative is a Lunch and Learn series where we're going to ask female business leaders in our community just to come in and have an informal lunch with us.
Mm-hmm.
Don't prepare anything. You don't have to bring in a speech or written materials. Just come in, have lunch, and talk about your life and the challenges that you faced and the things that you've had to face and overcome to get to the position that you're in.
Right.
As a female in the business community. And so that's what we would like to do in terms of our Lunch and Learn program is to reach out to these female, not necessarily lawyers, I mean women executives, CEOs,
right.
Women, female entrepreneurs that have started their own businesses or that have become very successful in rising through the ranks at a company
right.
like Recall, just to hear their stories and to hear what they did and get ideas about
and share and best practices, what's
right.
worked, what doesn't, you know, kind of the good, the bad, the ugly of what's out there.
And part of it is just realizing that you're not the first person that has gone
right.
through this
right.
and that other people have done it and have done it successfully and learning from them as to how they've made that work.
Heather?
Yeah, I think, you know, another aspect is externally looking at the partners and suppliers that you work with and how they embrace diversity. That's one of the things that Recall does as well.
And that's critical, too, because what we're seeing is a lot of times if you're doing, say, for example, a request for proposal to try and get work from a specific client, in many, many instances, the client wants to know what your focus is on diversity. They want to know the diversity throughout your practice, your lawyers. Are you hiring women? Are you hiring minorities? What's the demographic of your firm? Because that's important to our clients, and therefore that's it is and should be very important to us as well.
And that's an important point that you want to align philosophically with everybody, vendor, client, everybody should be kind of on the same page regarding certain issues.
Absolutely.
So this day and age, is one of the challenges resistance anymore, or is it more about awareness and figuring out how to make it happen more so than people being resistant to the idea of more inclusion for women, more opportunity for women? Or is there still some undercurrent of resistance to the idea?
So the way that I answer that question is, you know, I talk a lot about stories and family members. So I think about my mother-in-law and the story she told me. Now, my mother-in-law is about to turn 90. So her experiences in the workplace was many years ago. But when she got married, she returned to work the next day and they told her, very nice, it's been nice knowing you, you've been great, but you're married and now you need to go home and be with your husband. And so she was effectively fired the day after she was married. That doesn't happen today, right? I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen today. You know, but over time, things change. So my mother also working in the workplace, when she was pregnant with me, a lot of time, you know, she tells me stories about where she was in situations where they said, well, you made a choice to work while you were pregnant. You could be at home now, but you've made that choice, so we're not going to do this or that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think those things necessarily happen as frequently as they did historically. Things are much better. But I think, as in anything, there's always room for improvement. And so that's the things that we're embracing. Those are the things that we're doing as women to help and continue to improve and make things better. Certainly, I am very happy that I'm not in the situation that my mother-in-law was in, nor the situation that my mother was in. But at the same time, learning from those, helping explain those stories to others, and ensuring that we don't go backwards, that we continue to move and make forward progress.
Right. And I think that's what's so important about things like the Diversity Journal and what Heather mentioned earlier, which is keeping the dialogue open. I mean, yes, we have made incredible progress, but we still have a long ways to go. And I do think there is still resistance out there, and it's still there. And thankfully, it's less, and thankfully we're moving forward, but it is still there. And so I think having the conversation and keeping the dialogue open about diversity is critical, because it keeps that issue in the forefront, and it keeps that issue an important issue in all of our business communities.
I think that's one of the great things about Diversity Journal and the fact that they are continuing to recognize women. I mean, they've been doing it for over 12 years, but there's still opportunity to continue to do that.
That's right. Now, you mentioned that you're part of now a group that you were both profiled at the same time. Do they do, like, events? Is there things that they do to celebrate this over each year?
You know, I'm not sure. I know they have 6 issues a year, and the mm-hmm. Women Worth Watching is their fall issue this year. Right. I know they have CEOs to watch. I think they have Hispanic Heritage events that they do as well. But they are a publication, a print publication. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they do any sort of other media in terms of television, right. You know, anything like that, or if they do other events. We haven't had a dinner or anything right. to celebrate the finalists. It was just the press release with the publication.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think one of the things that you brought up, Ashley, is really important is, you know, getting to know the other women that have been previously in the publication or have been featured in this most recent one. So I look, you know, through it and think about the people that I've worked with in the past that have been honored with this privilege, and then look to meet more people. And I think that's part of it, is creating those communities, mm-hmm. getting to know people and that have similar principles and similar areas of focus. So
right.
It's a great opportunity that way.
All right. So I'd like to now bring on Deborah Marshall. She is the executive director with InGirls. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, why don't you share a little bit about your organization?
Certainly. InGirls is an organization inspiring girls for their future. InGirls was created back in 2012, so we're a young organization. And we go into eighth grade school, into middle schools, into eighth grade, and work with the girls there to really help them understand that, you know, once you get ninth grade is right around the corner. And once ninth grade comes around, the clock starts ticking. And if you really want to go to college, you can't start getting things together your junior year, your senior year. You've got to get them together right away. So we work with the schools and to get these girls in and give them a full year program to help them understand how important it is to go to college so they can achieve their dreams and really have a lot more choices for them as they get older.
So now you're part of the National Diversity Council, right?
Yes, that's correct. Actually, this program, InGirls, started as the Young Women's Leadership Symposium, which is a program within the National Diversity Council. And then one of our founders, Marilyn Jensen, was on the board of the National Diversity Council, and she decided that she wanted to take this program and run with it. So she did. And so she got into two Atlanta public schools, Brown and Kennedy Middle School, in 2011 and 2012, and really started working with the girls there. And it became so successful and so popular that it was decision was made to spin it off into its own nonprofit organization.
So now that age group, eighth grade, that's right on the cusp where girls are making different choices, like you want to catch them early. What's the thinking of that specific age group?
Yes, actually, in one of the first sessions that we have, we do a test. It's a little game. And we ask the girls to stand up, and we move half of them over to one side of the room. And we say, okay, and then we take the other half, we take 75% of those girls, and we say, you're in this group. And then the 25% are in another group. Mm-hmm. The first group, the 50% of the girls, those are the ones that are going to graduate from high school. And then the 75% of the rest of it, or the 38%, the 75% of the other 50% are the girls that are going to go on to college, and then the other 25% are the girls who are going to drop out of high school. And then they go into a process where they tell them, this is what a high school grad dropout makes, this is what a graduate makes, this is what a college graduate makes. And it shows them different images of what they could afford. If they go to college, they're more likely to afford a car, a house, other things that they travel, things that they really aspire to do, to really give them good visual cues as to here are your choices. And if you go to college, you're going to earn more and you can do more.
So now when they see that must be very powerful. Like, it's one thing to theoretically kind of picture it in your head, but when you see around the room the different groups, that must be extremely...
Oh, yeah. The first thing that gets a rise out of them is when you say to the group that said, well, you're the ones that are going to drop out of high school. And they're like, no, we're not dropping out of high school. Right. And they get very indignant about that. And then the other girls are saying, we're the college girls.
Right.
And so they sort of, that gets them kind of started thinking about it. But then they, when you show them the pictures on the screen of, you know, what they can earn and what they can do with that money, yes, then they get very engaged and they really start to open up.
So now, Ashby was mentioning earlier that now 50% or more women are graduating law school. That percentage obviously wasn't that high, even probably 10 years ago. It was probably dramatically less. Is there efforts on your group's part to aim them at certain more male-dominated industries?
Actually, when we get in with them and ask them what they want to do, we ask them, have you thought about going to college? And we ask for a show of hands. And then we ask some of the girls, well, what college do you want to go to? And you hear Harvard, you hear Yale. So these are girls that are aware of what's going on. And then we also have a facilitator that stays with the school program for the entire year. And for example, the school we attended on Friday, it was a woman who was a lobbyist, and she will be their facilitator for every single session that we do this year. And then we also had a speaker come in, and she talked about what she went through as a girl, what it meant for her to stay in school, get good grades, go to college, what she's been able to accomplish. She's now a high-level executive at the United Way. The girls were very impressed with that. And then our facilitator is a lobbyist, and they were really curious to what a lobbyist was. So they start to see these women are able to, what they're able to accomplish, and they came out of circumstances where maybe they were not always encouraged about going to school or continuing their education, but they had the will and the determination to do it, and they did it, and look what they've achieved. So It's all about getting these female role models in front of these girls to really talk to them about, here's what you can do, and my road wasn't that easy, but if you persevere, you'll be able to make it through and be whatever you want to be.
I think that's fantastic, and I would suspect that there are some girls in the crowd that may not have the self-confidence at that point. They haven't had the role models at that point, and you're bringing in successful professionals, and they get to see that. And I don't have a really strong segue, but I just want to say on air, and I want Ashby to know, my kid took the LSAT Saturday.
Oh, congratulations.
And she feels like she did really well. She prepped really hard, took all the practice tests, so we'll keep you posted.
That's fantastic.
So now, is one of your challenges is finding women to get involved in this group to be the role model?
Actually, that's been quite easy. In fact, Heather and I were talking in the lobby, and I'm already starting to
recruit her. So you're recruiting right here.
I'm recruiting right here, you bet. No time like the present. And then Ashby, I think she's someone I want to talk to about this as well. But we have had women that are really excited about getting in front of the girls and trying to help them understand how important this is. And so we've had a lot of luck with recruiting for facilitators and for guest speakers. Two other parts of the program I'd like to mention is in January and February, we do a leadership symposium and then a college immersion day. In the leadership symposium, the girls from all the schools will get together, and we have several female leaders in the audience, and they last year they did a speed dating. So they would spend a few minutes with each leader talking to them, and then there'd be a speaker, and then they can sit with them at lunch and really start to get to know these women and ask them questions. So the leadership symposium was very popular, but what was even more popular was the college immersion day. We have an arrangement with Agnes Scott, Spelman, and Georgia Tech for the girls to split up and to go to either of those schools. The girls that are most interested in STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math, go to Georgia Tech, and the girls that are more interested in liberal arts educations will go to either Spelman or Agnes Scott. And that's also a big hit.
And then what happens when they go there? They get toured around the school?
They get toured around the school. They actually attend classes. It's actually like they are a student that day at the college, and they eat in the dining hall, and they attend classes, and they get to know female students there that are leaders and meet the professors. So it's a really exciting day for them, and it gives them a real experience of what college is like.
Now, you mentioned STEM. Is there initiatives that you guys are working on to encourage girls to get more involved in the STEM classes? Because we work a lot with the Women in Technology group.
Right.
And that is, they're really struggling. There's just a handful. I don't know what the percentage is, but I think it's less than 20%. Of women who go into fields that are STEM-oriented?
I'm not exactly sure about the statistics or the numbers, but what we try to do is encourage girls to, at eighth grade, to go to college and think about a career. And so, there'll be people that get in front of them, these speakers, some are in STEM associated businesses. Mm-hmm. But then, we want to get a diversity of women in front of them, not only, a diversity from gender, but race and income, but what they do as well. So, for example, you'd want to get maybe a medical doctor or a veterinarian or possibly someone who is a teacher. And it can be any of those different subjects, a lawyer, a business person, just to show these girls different career paths that they can take as well.
Right, but with the goal of getting them into college and graduating.
That's correct. You get them into college and graduate. And some of the girls are just excited right off the bat, but then others, it just takes them a little time to warm up. But generally, once the momentum is toward everybody being really excited about it, usually the rest of the girls jump on the bandwagon.
Now, is there an aha moment that you see happening when you're with the girls or with these women?
Well, with the women, I think definitely. They get a real feeling of, wow, I just did something really great, and mm-hmm. I'm helping these girls understand. And they're eighth grade girls, so you have to keep their attention. And sometimes, the girls in the back will start talking a little bit. And, we say to them, you have to listen. You have to be quiet. The rest of the people want to. So there is some sort of disciplining going on as well, very minor, not real disciplinary action. But just saying, girls, you need to listen to us, and really trying to help them understand that it's important to ask good, thoughtful questions, to be polite, to have good etiquette, so that when they go out and they interview for college or go out on a job interview, that they go in there with the best possible chances of success.
I think the opening exercise where she described where she splits them up and they show the picture of the 1978 Corolla that this group over here is going to be driving, right, in a 2010 Mercedes over here. That's probably an aha moment.
That and the girls that end up in the group that say, oh, you're the ones not graduating from
not
high school. And that, that got the
That's
first.
Great.
Yeah, that got the first reaction. So, and then after that, they were all a little bit, and we saw them right after lunch, too, and they all stayed awake, and they all seemed to really enjoy the program.
That's great.
Yeah.
Your backstory, tell us a little bit about how you arrived at doing this for a living. It must be incredibly rewarding work.
It really is. I tell you, I was a career banker my entire life. I graduated from college and I got into banking and rose up through the ranks. And about 5 years ago, I decided that it just wasn't it wasn't my passion anymore. Banking had changed a lot over the years, and I really felt that it was time for me to make a shift. And I had started getting involved in the nonprofit field back in the early 2000s. The organization I worked for put me on a couple boards, and I really found that I enjoyed the work. And so I decided that after my banking career, I was going to start a career in the nonprofit world. So I've worked at two nonprofit organizations prior to joining InGirls, which I just joined 3 weeks ago. So happy to be there.
So now, what about InGirls? What got your attention?
I really, speaking with Marilyn Jensen, Marilyn's the board chair. Marilyn is the really the passion behind the organization, as well as Trish Mueller, who's with Home Depot. But Marilyn really won me over in telling me about what we're doing for these girls and how important it is, and how, you know, it's an exciting organization, and it's really just 2 years old. It's on the ground floor, but the demand for the services has grown exponentially. I think in 2011, they started working at two schools with 20 to 30 girls, and now we're working with five APS schools and probably going to touch close to 500 this year. And so, and there's plans to expand the program nationally. Marilyn was just relocated with her company up to Philadelphia, and she said, as soon as I'm settled, I'm going into the Philadelphia public schools and going to be talking to them about InGirls. So the idea is to expand the program nationally.
So that's why you're around?
That's why I'm around, yes.
To help them get boots on the ground in different markets?
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to it.
So now, Ashby and Heather, do you work with nonprofits like this in town like this?
Well, I was actually, before we went on the air, I was just talking with Heather about, with Deborah about the pro bono partnership of Atlanta.
Right.
And we're actually having a lunch and learn at my Atlanta office right next door on October 30th. And the pro bono partnership of Atlanta is a really unique organization because it's an organization that actually works with nonprofits to provide them with pro bono legal services.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had invited Deborah to attend our luncheon just to learn more about the organization, because what they do is they either find staff attorneys or they will find volunteer attorneys from the Atlanta community to help nonprofits with, it's primarily transactional services that they need, be it formation of companies or tax
right.
issues or a wide variety of legal issues that nonprofits, both startup and established nonprofits, need. So
that way you can help lots of nonprofits in the community.
Right, exactly. And me personally, I do a lot of pro bono work for a nonprofit down in Savannah, Georgia called Horsin' Around, which is an equine therapy program for disabled children.
Where they get to be on the horses?
Correct.
Uh-huh.
Correct. And it's a family member of mine started the program several years ago just by observing that a family friend of ours who had a disabled child responded really amazingly well to riding the horses. And she also noticed another family friend of ours who had a child with ADHD and had been on medications and was not responding well, but really seemed to focus, excuse me, and pay attention and do really well when riding the horses. And so she started this equine therapy program, and I've done a lot of pro bono work for that company, that nonprofit in Savannah.
And we were nonprofit in June.
Right.
You think
yeah.
we could get a deal?
Heather, are you?
Yeah, actually, I was talking to Deborah before the show as well. And my experiences, I spent a lot of time helping and tutoring young children, so in grade school, that came from families or environments where it was a challenge, right? So they weren't going to get the attention at home to help with their homework
mm-hmm.
and be able to get through those in a way that they enjoyed it and be able to come into school the next day and be prepared. So I spent a lot of many years working in that environment.
So you had like a hotline they could call you with math problems? And
So actually it was in person. So they would it was part of a corporate group that was doing that, and we would meet. They would actually, the school bus would drop them off at the office.
Wow, that's
great. We would meet them and spend, you know, a couple of hours. And then we focus on children that were actually in the area. So mm-hmm. their parents would then come back and pick them up.
Wow, that's great.
And walk them home. Yeah, so it's a great program.
My girls have to hear this broadcast. Many of our listeners know, and some of you in the studio know, I'm the father of two girls. My wife is a professional and very successful in her career. And Katie just took the LSATs Saturday, and she's a senior in college. And then I have Kelly, who's a sophomore in high school. And I get so inspired. This is very important. And for them, fortunately, they do have some good role models. But for them to hear a conversation like this is, you guys are doing fantastic work.
Thank you.
So now, we start with Heather. Why don't you tell us about recall, a paragraph or two about best way to learn more about you? You said you guys are looking for people, employees, right?
Yeah, so we're in the process of being spun off. So come December, we're going to be a publicly traded company, and we mm-hmm. are definitely hiring. We have a number of positions posted on our website. I think one of the big areas of focus for us is actually because we're growing, we have so many clients that are really excited about the offerings that we have that we are hiring salespeople as well. So, you know,
that's not just in Atlanta, that's all over?
All around the world. Uh-huh. So not just in the Atlanta area, but everywhere in the United States and in the 20 plus countries that we operate in. So, and those are also found on our website. So, you know, I think about young adults and young women who are starting off. I started my career in sales. That was, mm-hmm. I started with a company called Pitney Bowes in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I had actually planned on being an attorney, but did not want to go to law school right away. My father, I went to him and I asked him for some advice. I said, I'm not ready to go to law school. I had taken my LSATs, but I wasn't quite ready yet. I said, what could I do for a couple years? And he said to me, and it, you know, was quite frankly one of the best advice that I've ever had, is go and find a role where you are in a customer-facing position, mm-hmm. where you are on the front lines and you're learning about what the business works, how it operates, and what customers need. And that's how I ended up in a sales role. So I, you know, and Recall is a great company to work for. We've got sales positions. I highly recommend that if you are just starting out, graduating from school, it's a great place to start your career. And I welcome, you know, those people to look at it. I actually want to comment on your note about having young girls and young women listening to the broadcast. I actually have four sons. And one of the things that I like to advocate to them as well, because I don't have any daughters, is that it's important for them to listen to these shows as well and to be a part of it. Because they need to be a part of the conversation. They need to understand what their co-workers in the future may be experiencing and being able to relate to that so that when they're in the workplace, they know how to, you know, actively include women and understand the positions that they may be facing or feeling in the workplace.
Well said.
Now, the website for Recall?
Recall.com.
All right. Now, Ashby, you want to talk a little bit about what you guys are doing at Burr-Forman?
Sure. And just to echo something that Heather just said, you know, we have started a women's initiative, but we always include the male attorneys in our women's initiative events. They are always invited. You know, what we did not want was for the women's initiative to be sort of this like coffee klatch kind of, right. Oh, the women are meeting and the, you know, we didn't want that because that's not the conversation that we want to have.
Right.
Obviously we want to create that support network for women, but we want to make that inclusive and include our male attorneys for the purpose that Heather said, which is it's equally as important for them to be part of the conversation and see the value that we add and see the important work that we do and understand mm-hmm. the issues and the challenges that we face, because that's really where the diversity conversation makes headway.
Right.
So I thought that was an extremely important point, and I agree with that, and we are implementing that through our women's initiative.
Now, can you share the website? Because people, you said there's some lunch and learns or some events and activities along these lines
yes,
coming up.
Yes, definitely. Our My firm is Burr and Foreman. It's about a 280 lawyer firm. We're all across the Southeast. We have offices in Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Florida. We are our Atlanta office is right next door in the Wells Fargo building at Atlantic Station. And again, the website is www.burr, which is burr.com.
Mm-hmm. And they can go online and they can kind of drill down, find the Atlanta office and see the events that you guys are doing in
this area. Yep, absolutely. In fact, our marketing group, we just won an award this year because we completely redid our website.
Right.
And we made it, you know, law firms traditionally are the last to do anything innovative. But we've totally rebranded ourselves and we've totally refurbished our website. And we ended up winning an award for that because of all the efforts of our marketing committee to really sort of try and break through a lot of these law firm stereotypes and really kind of emerge as a thought leader in various areas. So, but yes, you can find us on our website, our brand new refurbished website. And yeah, it's very user friendly now.
That's
so
right.
So just so you know, the building next door here in the studio, we refer to that as the Burr and Foreman building.
Excellent. Wonderful. Thank you.
So now, Deborah, you want to share some coordinates for your group?
You bet. Thank you so much for having me here today. I really appreciate it. I'd like to let the listening audience know that as a nonprofit, we are totally supported by contributions of time, treasure, and talent. So if you would like to become a facilitator for a school or a speaker for one of the programs, we would love to have you. If you would like to volunteer any of your time or of anything in kind that you can offer to us, we'd certainly appreciate that. And you can also go to our website and make an online donation because we always need financial resources to keep the lights on, if you will. You can go to theingirls.com and click on our donate page and donate there. Or you can leave a message there saying you'd like to be a facilitator or you'd like to be a speaker, know more about the organization. You can like us on Facebook and you can follow us on Twitter as well.
Now, are you also looking for schools to participate in this program?
Yes, we are. We are trying to expand the reach that we have not only in Atlanta but outside of the city. So definitely anyone out there listening that knows of a middle school where we can go talk to their girls and work with them, we'd love to talk to you about it.
Now, is it just public schools or is it private schools as well?
Mostly we've been dealing in public schools with the at-risk schools.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean that some programming in the future could expand it out to that, but right now that is our focus.
And it's theingirls.com.
Correct. Theingirls.com.
Well, thank you all very much for being part of this roundtable.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. And thank you to Burr and Foreman for underwriting the show. It's very important that they are giving back to the community in this way and helping get the word out for the important work that's being done here. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week on Results Matter Radio.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.